All right, what is going on, everybody? We are trying this again, this YouTube thing. I got a extender. It looks like I'm going to need a little more. I'm going to give it a minute because the video just shut down. Because sometimes that'll cause it to get a little laggy. But anyway, folks, I am Boxman. This is Wrestling Outlet. Whether we're on video or not, we will get the show out to you tomorrow. No big deal. You guys don't want to fucking look at us anyway, right? You don't want to look at us. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So, anyway, folks, been one hell of a week so far, wrestling-wise and everything else. And my man right there, how you doing, my man?
I am well. I'm Smark. How are you?
I am good. I am good, Smark. Now, I know I see Norab in here. He's probably going to tell me this is lagging like a motherfucker. So I guess I got to get something else to do this. This was a try. I figured I would give it a shot, and it does not look like it's going to work. So we're probably going to have to get off of this. Man, I wish we could just jump into Mixler or something and still be live. But it doesn't seem like it's going to work that way. Yeah. No, it's getting worse. Sorry, Norab. You'll be able to listen to us tomorrow night, my man. I'll get the show put up. So, yeah, I'm going to have to cut this off.
I mean, would you be able to just turn the camera off and do the audio? And then we have, like, photos and shit we could use, I guess.
Let's see if that helped at all. Let's see, that brought it from 97.2% to 96, back to 97, to 92, back to 96, back to 92, back to 96, 97, 97. No, it ain't doing shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see the stream's buffering in and out.
Yeah, if you look right, I don't know if you can see my... Can you see my cursor here? Oh. No, you
can't. Yes, I can.
All right. See this dropped frames? This is where I'm looking. And you see mm-hmm. this red? This means we got nothing.
Red, so, of course.
So...
Notoriously not good color.
No. So we probably look, yeah, the stream is buffering. Look, you can always use a good buffering, but this is not the way to do it, folks.
We need an underground Russian link.
You know,
Big Time by Peter Gabriel was a better WrestleMania 22 theme than I Dare You by Shinedown.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet, so. But yeah, we're still going to have to do this on audio. So sorry, folks, and I will try something else. I'll go buy something else, see if it works. Man.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
I was going
to
show you my cool little clock behind me and everything. Can change colors. Look.
Ooh.
Huh?
That's fancy.
My wife got it for me for Christmas. I finally got hung up. Only you can see it, though.
The put it over the top for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just the sound that you made with the just made it seem like you were right there with me, just elbowing me in the ribs. Like, pretty cool, pretty.
Oh yeah. There you go. You know what, Nora? That's what I'm gonna do next week. I'm gonna look and see if I can just steal a NASA satellite. See if that helps. It's a great idea. That's a fucking great idea.
it's not a bad idea. I mean. It's probably some legalities that are going to come into play there, but I'm not too far away from there's a space museum in Huntsville, I believe.
Well, what I have here in my hand is a Wi-Fi repeater. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try this next week also. So I'll plug the LAN into this, plug the LAN into the computer. Basically, this gives you like internet, connected internet with Wi-Fi. So I got a few more things to try, and we'll keep trying. In the meantime, Norab, I apologize. We're going to shut this bad boy streaming down, and we will be back here. Don't worry. You still hear us? It's still recording. Not like you're not going to hear us, but not a problem. I'm going to go ahead and stop streaming right now, and there you go, folks. So whatever. Hey, we're still here. At least you can still hear us. And we're not even streaming anymore, and the frames are still not dropping. Mm-hmm. We're still dropping frames, and we're not even streaming anymore. God damn it. It still hasn't stopped the stream yet. Mm-hmm. It took a while to get it going for some reason. So it's still trying to stop
the stream. Yeah, there's always a bit of a delay.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's off now. All right. Sorry, NORAB. That's what you get for liking Baron Corbin, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Tag team champion Baron Corbin. We never mentioned that, but he climbed the hill. He got it done. I guess it was him and Braun Breaker.
Yeah, why would he? Why? Why would we? Why would we? But I guess what I can do, Smark, is stop sharing my screen. Actually, I could leave it. And you could just follow along with the stories. Yeah. I'll put the stories up. You can still follow
entirely along. Entirely your prerogative.
Or I can just share the Skype, or I can share my browser, which is what I'll probably do. I can pull up my browser and just share that instead. So here, we'll hit stop sharing, switch screen or window, and I can go right to the browser. And you can still follow along like that. That's probably a lot easier for your eyes.
Sounds good.
Oh, sorry. I hit the heart react. I mean, I love you, but, you know. Sorry about that. All right. So this actually should be easier for you to follow along now. And, folks, I guess from here we can go ahead and jump on into the show. Don't need video, so all we need to do is record this bad boy. I like it. I like it. So anyway, Smark, something amazing happened over this weekend. There was a return. Oh? There was a return. There was a return that we have said it's going to take someone with balls. Someone that says, fuck it. Someone that just says, I don't care what kind of backlash I get. I'm fucking doing this. Someone did. Of course, they kept it quiet until it came out. But Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream, folks, made his return over the weekend to, I believe it's Dynasty Wrestling. Let me go. I'm scrolling down, folks. I believe it's Dynasty Wrestling. That's what it was. And, of course, you know, you can't go through that because it's got to bring you, yeah, the Dynasty. No, I'm sorry. He was against the Dynasty. This cause they used back against the Dynasty. No, it was called Dynasty Wrestling. And they did have to even, you know, go out there and admit they made a little faux pas. But, you know, I know, we all know Velveteen Dream has had a kind of a rough go at it, if you want to put it that way. Some people are, I mean, everyone is already calling for his head and this company to just, this company should be defunct. This guy should be in jail. Both of them should be in jail. What? For what? Explain to me, Smart, what charges should Patrick Clark be in jail for?
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you believe.
Well, no. No, it actually doesn't. He was never charged by the law. He's not under investigation anymore. He's been under investigation, real investigation by the police. He's, according to the cops, he's broken no laws. According to whatever investigation, WWE, which I'm sure was a private investigator, broken no laws. His phone wasn't even wiped. He handed over his phone. Who would do that if they were fucking doing anything that they said this guy did? On the phone. Now, we did see he was a little bit of a douchebag in the gym when we talked about that. Got kicked out of a gym.
Yes.
That?
Trying to start fights at the Planet Fitness.
That's got nothing to do with nothing on this. He hasn't been charged. He hasn't been convicted. He's never been to court. Nothing. Nothing. He's been accused. He's been accused, but already people calling for this man's head. This, like I said, both of them should be in jail. This guy shouldn't be able to do anything ever again. What's he supposed to do? fucking bag groceries. And then if you see him bagging groceries, you're going to fucking make a phone call and say, do you know what this guy's accused of? Then he's fired. That's really good. So he can't do anything in life anymore. Patrick Clark, go home, curl up, and die. Is that what you guys want?
Seemingly.
Exactly. Seemingly, that is exactly what people want, Smart. Boy. Sorry, Patrick Clark. I don't know. I mean, listen, this guy may never make it too far in wrestling, but I don't know, man. I mean, so people deserve a second chance, especially when they're not found guilty of anything, any wrongdoing. I don't know. Call me crazy. I'm that kind of Law and Order guy. I mean, some laws. That weed thing is stupid. Mm-hmm. That weed law is stupid.
It's funny that you say that, because it said after his release, WWE, Clark was arrested twice in August 2022, once for battery and trespassing charges. That was the whole gym incident. And another for possession of drug paraphernalia. So apparently he's been lighting up the old doobers left and right. That's from a Yahoo article.
And Brad Maddox, remember we talked about the one where he might have left a cell phone in the bathroom watching people go piddle?
Of course, I mean, who hasn't done that?
Oh, I mean, exactly. I mean, come on, folks. This is fucking 2023. That's OnlyFans shit right there, guys.
Why do you think they invented waterproof cell phones?
Yeah, thank you. Wait, what? All right, yes, exactly. I'm going to stretch this out. Okay, so why would they do that?
If what he did was true, then fuck him, because some of that was like solicitation of minors and shit. Mm-hmm. So if that is true and he did do that, fucking may he burn in hell. But like you said, the proof, there was like, I don't know, it was sort of open for debate, and there was, like you said, he never got charged with anything, so got to kind of move on with life. Like you said, he's got to do something for a living, and he had a lot of potential before all the show went down. Yeah. Like, it seemed like he was going to be one of the biggest stars that the fucking company had for a long time running, because he still, to this day, is still pretty young. Like, when he was with them, I think it was only, like, what, 24, 25?
Yeah.
So, like, he had a lot of upside, and then all that shit happened, and then it seemed like he sort of just disappeared for a while, and now he's back. And, I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, I don't know if you remember, like, when Louis C.K. came back, and, like, everybody threw a fit at first, and then just the outrage dies down.
It really does. You know, that kind of outrage does die down, but Louis C.K. is a comedian. It's a little different. This guy is portraying... Yeah. This guy portrays a very flamboyant character in Velveteen Dream. Mm-hmm. Please, in no way am I connecting flamboyancy with pedophilia. Please don't think that. But I'm just saying, with the kind of flamboyancy this character, you know, does kind of exude, I guess this is what people think. I guess people immediately connect that and go, well, you know, he plays this like really almost gay character, so you know he probably was talking to kids. What? If the dumbest mistake he made was talking wrestling with minors at 3 a.m, stupid, bad judgment. Not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Not illegal. So, I don't know. I think the guy deserves a second chance. Even Booker T says, though, this is a very slippery slope. Bringing a guy like that back. Dude, do you know how many... Booker.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yes, but like, also, let's look at it for what it is. This is a fucking small town independent company. I don't know if they're based out of New York, but the event was in New York, so it was like a small town independent wrestling thing. Think about the risk versus reward here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're getting a guy with a name value, you're getting a guy with a fuck ton of talent and ability if he can dial back in and focus again, for probably a greatly reduced price than what he was making before, asking for before. And just the idea of like that's a start for you guys. And then like if it doesn't work out, you don't lose anything. You show them the door. You're running without them, running with them. Doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people say that this was all kind of cooked up by some hate group that actually they do not like black people.
Could be. And
A lot of
plus, I mean, like,
people.
again, I sort of fleshed out what I was saying before a little bit too, is like, it's a small time independent company. It's not like they have sponsors. It's not like they have a TV deal. It's not like they have a streaming service. They're not doing shows on Netflix or whatever. This is not NWA fucking doing a pay-per-view where they show somebody snorting pretend cocaine and then they fucking ruin everything for themselves. This is a very low stakes deal for them. And then, if it ends up working out, he could potentially be back and move on to better things. I honestly thought he was probably going to get something somewhere. My guess would have been Mexico, but the fact that he's getting some work in the US, that's cool too.
Yeah, and as far as I can see, you can still stream. From what I can see from this, you can go on the CW app and stream NWA Power. So they did still get a deal with CW. But right now it's just a streaming deal. As you can see here, it started on 2/6. So, yeah, you can still watch NWA Power on the CW app, which, if you've got cable and you have CW, you can download the app and stream this show. So, hey, maybe they do a year, two, three of this, and then they do get a TV deal. Doesn't seem like it's, I mean, it might have screwed them up a little bit, but looks like it was more a monkey wrench than a screw up. So, there, we talked about that. That knocks one off our list, smart. But, you know, I don't know, man. It seems like people just want this guy to disappear, never come back, leave anything that he, you know, loves. And the company did put out a statement, though. It says, "Last night, we did what most others wouldn't. We took a risk on a person and gave them an opportunity for a second chance. A second chance to fulfill their dream. We stand by that decision. Thank you for the packed house for last night's event. Hashtag we are the dynasty." Listen, I hope they do stand by it. I do. Do you know how many people in WWE have been accused of some nasty, nasty things and made comebacks? Dirty, nasty, nasty things. Vince McMahon.
I mean, Ric Flair was on Dynamite last night.
Yes, he was. Yes, he
And I mean,
was.
honestly, if you put a gun to my head and you ask me if I think Velveteen did what he did or if I did Flair did what he did, I think it's more likely that Flair did what he was being accused of. But I mean, conjecture either way, but Velveteen Dream didn't have a cartoon made of him on ESPN 30 for 30 where he was fucking grooming children. Ric Flair had a cartoon where he's pulling his dick out on planes, and now if somebody was like, he pulled his dick out on a plane, it sort of bothered me, and they're like, oh no, that didn't happen. It's like, huh? What? What?
It was all for a good cause, Mark.
It was all laugh, the old sexually harass a stewardess routine. Famous Abbott Costello bit. We all know it.
Ah, come on, they did that all the time back in the day.
Yes, it was who's on third. It was molest the stewardess.
Yeah,
Just
come
any
on.
number of classic.
Didn't you watch The Wolf of Wall Street? He's on there banging stewardesses right in the middle of the aisle.
I
Come
actually
on.
didn't watch The Wolf of Wall Street because that movie's like fucking 4 hours long, and I don't have time for that.
It's like 250, and it is worth it. It goes so fast, and it is worth the watch.
Okay.
It's a great fucking movie. It is. I think it's like 250. That sounds right. But a good movie, man. Really a great story. And at the end, is the real guy.
Yeah, I knew that, and it was based on an actual person.
Oh yeah, based on a very true story. Very, very true
3 hours even, according to
story.
IMDb.
All right, you got credits in the beginning, you got credits at the end. Actually, you don't have credits. The movie kind of kicks right on. But the credits at the end got to be at least 10, 15 minutes.
You know, I'm not even really doubting that it's going to be a good movie. It's just a matter of it's 3 hours. That's also the same reason I don't watch a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies, is because it's going to be good, but it's also going to be a real fucking long time before they get to the point.
You know, I'll take... There's one movie that that's even longer than that. I think Green Mile is like 3 hours and 13 minutes. And JFK, if I'm just doing shit around the house, I will just turn one of those on. Actually, this TV has a cool little thing. I can make a little playlist and just put my movies on whatever order. Man, that's fucking 6 hours of movies right there. Ain't got to touch nothing.
I've been meaning to watch the JFK movie. No spoilers, please.
Seriously?
No. Green Mile is 3 hours and 9 minutes, by the way.
That JFK movie is fucking awesome, dude. I love watching that shit. You got it. Dude, that movie is packed with fucking... You got Kevin Costner in that movie. You got Tommy Lee Jones in that movie. Pesci. John Candy. Fucking Michael Rook. Or Rooker. I can't remember his name. One of those two. That movie is a star-studded... Laurie Metcalf in that movie. That movie is a star-studded movie. And that's... Mm-hmm. I didn't even look at IMDb for that one. Norman is in that movie from Seinfeld.
Oh, fucking Wayne. No, that's Wayne Knight?
I think that might be his name. He's been in... Yeah, probably him.
So you said Norman. There was a character in Seinfeld named Newman.
Newman. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir, for correcting
me. Yeah, that is Wayne Knight because he was on Space Jam. He was like Michael Jordan's bitch.
Yep. Same guy. He was in that movie. Mm. JFK is a good fucking movie. Green Mile. Have you seen Green Mile?
Not yet. I actually do at some point plan to watch that for real.
That's a good one. Michael Clark Duncan. Ooh, that's a good one. That's another one. Star-studded fucking movie. You got fucking Tom Hanks, Michael Clark Duncan. You got fucking Barry Pepper kicking around in there. God, I forget that fucking old guy's name. The tall son of a bitch that's in all those fucking movies. He's in it. You know that guy. But that's a great fucking movie. Great, great fucking movie. But I'll just
think of Abe Vigoda?
No. Fish? No.
Abe Vigoda. Because the guy I'm thinking of is also the guy in fucking Good Burger, but it's I don't know if it's
saying. No, this guy was in the Adam Sandler Longest Yard. That's what he was in. He was in the Longest Yard with Adam Sandler. He was the warden. So if we scroll, we go to cast. Scroll, not Ed Lauder, not there, show more. Where's the warden? James Cromwell.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say James Garner, and I knew it was wrong, but I had the James part right. James Cromwell's in that movie. That's a good fucking movie. That's a really good movie. But anyway, I guess, I wouldn't mind keep talking about fucking long-ass movies, but I'm trying to think of more. Boogie Nights was a long one, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I think that might have been a long one. Boogie Nights, runtime. Bam, 2:35. That's a good one. And now, Scorsese puts out this new one, this Killer of the Flower Moon. You know how long that one is?
Fucking probably 327 or something.
I'm pulling it up right now. It's 3-something. 320. Boom. Damn, Smart. 326.
Not bad for a guess. That was a total guess.
3 hours and 26 fucking minutes, dude. That's almost half a work day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long one. Meanwhile, I've got the movie and I really want to watch it. It looks fucking great. And I think De Niro's in it because, you know, you got to have De Niro in the Scorsese movie. Let me see. De Niro's in it.
Yes.
He's in it. John Lithgow. Ooh. I've never seen a movie that's bad with John Lithgow in it. Honest to God, never. Never.
I'm not watching it based on the fact that I just saw that Brendan Fraser's in it and I don't appreciate his attempt at appropriating my culture.
He is...
That motherfucker. He gets an Oscar for pretending to be fat. What the fuck do I get?
Oh, he was there for a while. He lost some weight when he came back to the spotlight.
No, he made that movie, The Whale, where he's like, I don't know what the fuck the plot was. I just remember that the whole movie is based around him being fat. And then it was like, everybody was like, that's very brave of you to be fat for like 20 minutes for a movie. It's like, fuck you. the nerve of this asshole.
Wow. Okay, Smark. You okay?
Mm-hmm. No, that whole movie should have been like fucking 4 hours of him just trying to be on an airplane comfortably.
Well, I guess. What?
That'd be pretty great. Also, I guess to double back to what we were talking about roughly 40 minutes ago. He's apparently Velveteen Man. And that seems like that's an entirely different character. I don't know if I really want Velveteen Man on my show. He sounds like a low budget version of himself. It's weird.
I would just call myself Velveteen at that point.
Yeah.
Everyone knows from there and from there on, so who knows?
It sounds like a bottom of the barrel, like Marvel superhero. Like they ran out of all the other Marvel characters to do a movie on. It's like, well, fuck it, we'll do one for Velveteen Man.
Yeah, pretty much. Why not? Velveteen Man. It just sounds like something you would see on a commercial. It really does. It sounds like a commercial. Oh, good. I'm glad we're not on YouTube. I have my little Superman curl going on here. Anyway.
Able to film large penises in a single pound.
What?
That's what he was accused of doing.
Okay. I think
the whole Velveteen Man is over here just, you know, fucking Avengers headquarters with the camera phone.
Meanwhile, back in the bathroom. Okay.
Like, I just wanted to see if the Incredible Hulk was incredible in all areas of life. You know what I'm saying?
Aquaman is trying to fish out something from the toilet. Okay.
Well, with Aquaman, I think it would be more if I could understand, like, the shrinkage coming into play. Because, you know, the water is cold. I get it.
Cold water and plus pruning.
Mm-hmm.
That's like double shrinkage because he's, like, in the water. Plus, he's got that tight little suit on. Please, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I haven't seen the Aquaman movies yet, but I don't know. I don't want my wife to. I know if we watch them, my wife's going to stand up. There's going to be a wet spot on the couch. She loves her some Jason Momoa. I was watching.
Is that why they call him Aquaman? I get it now.
I think so. I was watching Bullet to the Head. Stallone movie. We'll talk about Stallone a little later. It's the Stallone movie. It's got Stallone and Han from the Fast and Furious movies. They're in it. Christian Slater's in it. Bunch of people. Great movie. Decent movie. Action. Jason Momoa, it's like one of his first movies, and he has no beard. And it took my wife almost 20 minutes to realize it was him. And I didn't say anything. Finally, she went, is that Jason Momoa without a beard? I said, yeah. Watch the whole fucking movie. She hates those fucking movies. She hates my action movies. There you go. She watched it. He looks so different. We're talking about him the whole day. He looks so different. It's amazing. Oh, there's those pictures of what he would look like without one. And he doesn't look anything like that. It's like, yeah, those pictures are bullshit. But anyway. Anywho. But yeah. But by the way, very short movie. That's like an hour and 30 minutes, if that.
That's a short one. There we go. Now we're talking.
That's a fucking short one, Bullet to the Head. And you know, what the hell? Why don't we just bring it up while we're talking about it, then we'll flip back to the story we were going to talk about, because we were just talking about Stallone movies, and with WrestleMania coming up and being in Philly, guess what, folks? WWE is interested in working with Sylvester Stallone at WrestleMania. This just makes sense, doesn't it, Smark? I would bring in Stallone and I would bring in Mr. T, but do not give him a mic or remind him of his mother.
Coco getting some of his mama involved.
Remember that fucking Hall of Fame speech?
I do not. Speaking of like
three things
that I have no intention of watching.
Good Lord, I think Lawler had to come be like, dude, enough. They're about to fucking kick you out. And I don't know. I don't know if you would want to see an angry Mr. T, even an old angry Mr. T. Yeah, I read a funny, not a funny story, but a little, a reason why he called himself Mr. I guess his father had a shitty job. People treated him like shit. And he swore that he wanted people to always call him Mr. So he called himself Mr. T. So every time you addressed him, you said Mr. first. Not bad. But yeah, I could definitely see Stallone showing up for WrestleMania 40. Now, Stallone does not look like the Stallone of old. He's not the Rocky we used to see. But he still looks good. He's still jacked as hell. And I could see him definitely getting out there and doing something. I definitely could. Now, of course, this article straight out of Gimme Sports says it's unclear how much the two parties have communicated so far, but Stallone has dabbled in the professional wrestling business in the past, inducting Hulk Hogan into the WWE Hall of Fame. I forgot about that. I completely forgot that he did that. Completely.
Let me ask you a question about Mr. T, since you were saying you read the story. Do you think he is related to Ice? I mean, we are all God's children, but, you know, like, Mr. T, Ice T, this is a T family.
No, I don't think so. Anything's possible. Jesus Christ. Why have I never thought of that?
See, you really got to trust your instincts on that one, because I was thinking about that, and I waited the entire time that you were reading that paragraph to just be like, is it really worth it to say this? And I felt like it was.
I think it was. I don't know. I've never thought of it that way. But anyway, let's get back to But yeah, I would love to see him there. I'm a huge fan of Stallone and his movies, so I would like to see him there. It makes sense. You got Philly, you got Rocky. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There you go.
You just do
that the entire time.
I was going to do it a couple more times and interrupt you, but, you know, go ahead.
Fair enough. I mean, I think the reason that they probably want him is, you know, they're going to be doing like a mock parody of like the Rockies, you know, him running up the stairs and shit. So who's running up the stairs? Who do you think they get to do that? I'm going with Seth.
I would say Cody. They are putting this guy in Cody's corner. It's the Rocky story. Cody is finishing his story. You got Rocky Balboa in your corner. He finishes his story. Rocky go out there. I don't know.
I would actually like Cody more if that's what his promo sounded like.
I would too, you know.
America.
The country you live, I live, we dwell. We dwell here. Dwell. Yeah. Mick? He's what? What? Dead? Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh man, I'm literally saying this in my mind's eye now, because you're totally right. It's gonna be fucking Cody, and then do you think they get Foley to be Mick? I mean, it's kind of on the nose, but like, come on, you can see it happening.
Fuck that, Jagger.
Mm.
Yeah, walking down to moves like Jagger. Oh yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, I was talking about this whole, like, mock Rocky thing that they're going to do, because you know that's what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
That I do like the idea of Cody being in a promo with Mick Jagger. I don't know what that would be about necessarily, but I'm down for it.
Start me up! Yeah, start me up and never stop.
I literally just want Cody to come out 1 week and just grab the microphone and literally say, like, word for word, blah, 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 my dad, blah, 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 America. And then he holds up the microphone and everybody cheers and walks back to the up the ramp.
Yep. Not without reminding people his wife is African American. Sorry, sir.
That's true. Happy Black History Month to my wife.
Absolutely.
Alongside me, yep. Cured racism.
Absolutely. With the birth of our child.
I want that so bad. But it's just like the fucking every week there's a new one on Raw. So it's like, I always call it Ernie Ladd Appreciation Month because he was like the only person that they didn't saddle with like a racist gimmick from like back in the day. So it's like you get like 2 or 3 weeks of Ernie Ladd and then just 1 week of Brandy.
Dude, we should be writing this promo down. We should send this shit in. We might get paid for this, man. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
This is good shit. This is good shit. Fucking Mick Jagger out there talking about you make a dead man come.
Like, my wife famously refused to give up her seat on that bus.
And by the way, if you do listen to Start Me Up, listen to the last couple lyrics there. It is, you make a dead man come. It is. So there you go. That's how Cody should start his promo.
Shout out to Al Wilson. That is literally one of my favorite feuds in wrestling history. Is that there was a storyline where like Don Marie was like, "I fucked your dad to death," and it's Don, like that is amazing.
Don Marie and Tori, that was great.
If only Christian was doing the gimmick back then too.
Ooh, can't wait to talk AEW. There was a couple times I thought Christian was going to interrupt. Oof.
I know, and I wish it, I swear to you, it would have ruined the promo, but it would have been the most amazing thing.
Sting would have shoot killed him.
Yes, he would have Sting pinned him.
He would have pretended he was fucking Jeff Hardy at Victory Road 07 and beat the fucking piss out of him, and I hope so.
Fuck, we'll just get to it real quick right now. Sting mentioned that his father passed away in a promo, and I was praying that Christian would pop up, like when you fucking uppercutted somebody on Mortal Kombat, the guy would pop up and go, "Toasty!" I wanted that to happen.
Judah, I guarantee millions of people, or well, at least a couple hundred, or at least a few hundred thousand, were thinking, yeah, this would be bad, but you know what would be really good here? If Sting was staying, that might be something we could see. But
that is the reason why that was pre-recorded, because if it would have been live, he just couldn't have resisted the urge. He would have popped out from like fucking under the mat.
Sting! Okay. I can be your father. Your dad's dead, huh? Anyway, hey, that was a very emotional promo from Sting. I mean, he basically announced to the world. I don't think anyone knew. I didn't see that in any dirt sheets. But I believe he said 4 days ago, as of last night. So 5 days ago, his father passed away, and, you know, I guess probably the saddest part is that is how close Sting is to having his last match, and his dad doesn't get to see his last match.
Yeah, that does suck.
That's probably the absolute worst part of this, in my opinion. I don't know if I'm right or not, but being this close, definitely. I would think that's something he's thinking about. But just weird that he did that. But he definitely, I mean, look, he's got nothing to lose. He can cut promos however he wants. And it was a great promo. It really was. It was a great promo. Man, is it on here? About to say, I'll play it. We're out of fucking audio only. No, it's not on here. If it was, I would have played it, because, like I said, we're fucking audio only. Oh, wait. Wait. I got it. It's on Twitter. Nope, it's not.
Twitterverse.
Nope, I lied. Folks, I lied. I didn't mean to. I apologize. I would have played it. I could probably go on YouTube and get it, but I'm not going to do it. So it was a great promo, though. Talked about Darby came in. He was showing pictures of Sting's kids, talking about how this is all about family. They're going up against the Bucks. Matthew and Nicholas at Revolution, which is right around the corner, folks. Sting's last match is right around the corner, man. That's crazy. But, all right. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. So, we had mentioned Vince a little bit earlier. Folks, they're coming out of the woodwork. That's it. They're coming out of the woodwork. Paul Roma was on, it looks like, Fox News Nation. News Nation. Actually, it's just News Nation. It's not Fox News. I don't know. Is that still Fox? It looks like Fox's thing. Is News Nation a different thing?
I think so. I think it is. I could be wrong. I can look it up here in a second. But yeah, I know the they labeled this in a very weird way because I saw, before I even read it, I saw a YouTube video about with the headline. And it made it seem like he was being accused of things and that he was addressing accusations, you know, that were, had nothing to do with him, but had to do with, like, you know, Vince and WWE and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Paul Roma. He says he knows about an incident that's a lot worse than what Janelle Grant has alleged about Vince McMahon. I don't know what could be worse than shitting on a girl's head and leaving her there and then coming back and still having sex with her with shit. Shit everywhere. Shit. But anyway, I expect to see more of this, more guys coming out and women saying they know of stories, they know this, they know that. Everyone's going to be looking for a little bit of 15 minutes or so of fame coming out of the woodwork, folks, I tell you. And, you know, I'm not saying none of them have stories. I'll bet there are. But we got to kick the man when he's down. He left. He's gone from the company. Isn't that enough? That's what everybody's wanted for years. Years and years and years. He's gone. Bye-bye. Sorry, Vince, you're gone. I think that's enough for now. If he's convicted by a law of anything, that's not a problem with me either. I'm just saying, as far as unproven stories, I think he's had enough right now. Paul Roma, I know of an incident. Well, fucking tell it. Don't fucking tease it. Tell it. Put your fucking hair plugs back in and tell it.
Well, I think that's the thing, though, is like this shit, like there's always been these rumors of like something this happening. And it's like, well, what proof do you have? That's the problem. It's like, okay, so maybe it did happen. Maybe it didn't happen. But the reason why things are happening the way they're happening right now is like because there's all these like fucking text messages and photos and shit like that that are circulating that like had it been a different time, like, you know, there probably would be some evidence and some photos and some fucking text messages in regards to some of these allegations, because like some of them probably fucking did happen, but it's how can you prove it now?
Maybe, but what does this do? Coming out and saying, oh, I know of a juicier story. Okay.
Ew. I don't like juicy in this context.
Okay. I know of a worse.
More salacious, we'll say.
I know of a worse, we'll just leave it at what he said, a worse story about Vince.
Yes.
So what are you waiting for to tell it? Why tease it? You waiting for the right price? You waiting for the right shoot interview? You waiting for Sean?
I mean, I have more here from F4W. I don't know how much yours covers. I actually didn't see that one in the ones that you sent me.
Ooh, bring it on, please.
Yeah, okay. Paul Roma says male WWE wrestlers in WWE were propositioned by people within the company. Roma wrestled with WWE from 1987 to 1991, primarily as a tag team wrestler. He teamed with Jim Powers and the Young Stallions. This is relevant, by the way. And later with Hercules and Power and Glory. Roma spoke with News Nation's Ashley Banfield recently. By the way, that's that used to be WGN, so it's not Fox News.
Okay.
Which was a Chicago network, and it was first it was local, and then it became Superstation. And I guess they just relaunched in 2021 as News Nation. So there you go.
All right.
Roma spoke with News Nation's Ashley Banfield recently and addressed the allegations against Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, and WWE. During the interview, Roma mentioned he knows of wrestlers who left the company due to being asked for, quote, sexual favors. Roma said it wasn't so much Vince as it was people that he had surrounding him, Patterson. You're talking about Patterson, an industry where you have young, good-looking, well-built men in the ring, half-naked, three-quarters naked, actually. So, yeah, I mean, it left a door open for Patterson. He had a lot of people around him, vice presidents and bookers, that were very much into that, and they put you in a really, really bad situation, especially once you started making some money. You kind of get comfortable with that, and then you find out that your job's on the line, either do it or get fired. And I witnessed quite a few that walked away. The money wasn't worth it for them to go that route, so to speak. When Roma was asked to clarify what the wrestlers were asked to do, he responded, they were asked to do things, sexual things, with other men that they did not want to do, my former partner being one of them. I was actually in a cab ride in Washington, and we were coming back, and the gentleman next to me kept saying, it's not worth it, it's not worth the Benjamins, it's not worth the Benjamins. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's just not worth it. We got back to the hotel the next day. We were filming for our second TV taping, and he was gone. He jumped on a flight and went back home and never showed up again to wrestle. And he had an unfortunate incident, hit his head, and passed away while he was asleep. He had a bleed on the brain. Roma would also mention that his former tag partner in Young Stallions, Jim Powers, dealt with a similar situation. Roma continued, my former partner, one of my former partners, was when I was part of the Young Stallions. He was propositioned. He said he went to one of the agents and told them what had happened. And I said, why would you do that? You just ratted on both of us. What a friend. So he kind of threw us both under the bus. Jesus God, I didn't read that part. When we were just starting out, he was being a team player. Keep quiet. What a great guy. When asked to clarify if it was executives within the company who were propositioning wrestlers, Roma responded, quote, let's leave it this way. That's all it could be. If somebody's going to give you money, then it has to be that. There's nothing else. It's not going to be one of the other boys that you're wrestling with. They're not going to offer you money. Even my former partner, same thing. They offered him money, drugs, just lay on your back. You don't have to do a thing. Ugh. And he came running right to me when I came to TV, and I said, dude, what are you going to do? And he said, oh, I've already spoke to Arnold. And I said, well, why did you do that? You just killed our team. Fucking asshole. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to just go to the people that propositioned you. Which, I mean, I guess he kind of has a point. Roma formerly ran a wrestling school in Connecticut with his friend and former WWE wrestler, Mario Mancini. Mancini was a recent guest on New Nation. Okay, but yeah. So anyways, long story short, was that people were being forced to lay down and stare up at the lights and not in the ring.
You know, that song by Kamala keeps making it, you know?
It kind of is. I mean, among other things, he had a family, so that's probably takes precedent in that. But God, do I wish he was still alive. Because, like, he is being proven so very right in so many instances, at least allegedly, like you said. Whereas it's like, the whole push and pull thing.
Yep, that whole song is ringing true, man. All the allegations. We've heard about these forever. We've heard about these forever, and now they're finally coming to light?
I think that's another thing. It's like, yeah, we've heard about them, but, like, the majority of the world, like, didn't take it seriously or didn't care, and it, like, wasn't being reported because, like, any number of reasons, people don't look at wrestling as, like, a legitimate commodity or whatever, like, this, the comings and goings on in wrestling, people didn't take seriously or whatever. I don't know the exact reason, but now that this shit is actually getting traction with, like, actual, you know, local, not local, but, like, national news outlets, it seems like more people are coming out of the woodwork to just sort of retell stories that just kind of got swept under the rug, not necessarily to make new allegations, but just, like, they were out there before, but just people didn't really care.
So now that Vince is gone, it's okay to come out and just tell all?
Kind of. I mean, like, if you don't have to worry about facing legal repercussions, because, I mean, that was sort of what, that was part of the suit, the Janelle Grand thing, was she was saying that if you said anything, Vince was saying, you know, if you said anything, he was going to come at you with his high-priced legal team, his world-class legal team, in his words. So, like, now if that fear is not around, and you have stories, whether be they true or not...
But if you've got proof, come the fuck at me with your legal team, bitch.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, I guess you're talking about the Roma thing specifically.
He needed the job. He needed the job. Needed the money.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah, it's him just saying, well, come on, we fucking, it sucks, but we need money. It's like, Jesus.
So, Paul saying he, was it worth the Benjamins to Paul?
I mean, you could read between the lines on that one, I guess. It also does kind of make me laugh because I'm now just picturing, like, WCW being comprised entirely of a company of just people who wouldn't want to have sex with Pat Patterson, which makes me laugh. I'm just like, WCW, we're not down with that gay shit.
The new motto.
AJ Styles had a tryout match there.
He might have. Okay,
I mean, think about it. Sting was there. Ultimate Warrior was there. A bunch of Ultimate Warriors. I mean, one man a tag team. Ultimate Warrior was there multiple times. It all kind of adds up.
Warrior, yeah. Hogan, although, you know, we've heard some stories about Hogan too.
The Benjamins. You want me to do what now? I'm a man of the Lord.
The gay stuff. What?
We'll just say this is a bit of a Styles clash.
I'm good Georgia Christian boy. Fuck you. Okay. No, I didn't mean that literally.
Isn't this? Boy, do I hope they don't want none.
No, they don't want none. I wouldn't know that except a long time ago we read the lyric to that song. Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember that. We did. Word for word.
Bohemian Rhapsody of wrestling themes.
Absolutely. Yes. Just a poor boy. Nobody loves me. Anyway. I think we should move on a little bit. But
really? Because I have two more Vince sex stories to talk about.
I know. That's where we're going to move on to. Two more. I thought there was only one more. Did I miss one?
It's kind of the same thing, really, because it happened at the same time. It's just two different wrestlers giving their take.
Oh, all right. Well, sure. Why not?
All right. So, two people were asked what they thought about the whole Vince McMahon situation. Randy Orton being one of them, John Cena being the other one. And if you want to take a second to just sort of guess what you think they said, you're probably going to be right, but just stick with me here. Randy Orton is grappling with the allegations that have been made against Vince McMahon. In an interview with the New York Post that was published on Wednesday, Orton was asked about his reaction to the lawsuit former WWE employee Janelle Grant has filed against McMahon, WWE, and Laurinaitis. The lawsuit accuses McMahon of physical and emotional abuse, my dog eating in the background, sexual assault, and sex trafficking. Orton told the Post that the part of him doesn't want to believe the allegations because McMahon has done so much for him. But he understands that McMahon could have done those positive things while also making other terrible mistakes. Quote, I've seen horrible things online that I don't want to believe because this man has done so many things for me. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been given second and third chances. I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in now if it wasn't for that man. So part of me wants to believe it. So part of me wants to not believe it, and then the other part of me understands that he could have done all these wonderful things for me and the business and created this amazing thing that will go on well after he's gone. But on the other hand, he's human. He's made some fucking terrible mistakes. Orton added that he thinks a lot more information has to come out before he or any other WWE talent can really speak on the situation. Quote, there's three sides to every story, their side, the other side, and then the truth. I think a lot more has to come out before I can really speak on any of this. I think that would be the case for any other talent that you ask. But I do know about Vince McMahon, the man I've known for the past 24 years personally, and I owe him for everything he's done for me. I say that with conviction because I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in without a lot of help from him. But if these allegations are true, then it's some horrible shit right there. Choice of words. I'm torn. It's hard. Orton had similar comments in an interview with Sports Illustrated that was also published today. I've got to say this. I wouldn't be where I am without McMahon taking a chance on me a handful of times. I would not be where I am today without McMahon, but fuck, I'm reading this shit. What you've seen and read, I've seen and read. As far as commenting on that, it fucking hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. McMahon has vowed vigorously to defend himself against Grant's allegations, resigned from WWE and its parenting company, TKO Group Holdings, after the lawsuit was filed. And then you have Cena, who was also asked roughly about the same time. John Cena has opened up about his relationship with Vince McMahon. Cena appeared as a guest on the Howard Stern Show on Wednesday. So yeah, they're both Wednesday. He was asked about the allegations against McMahon and about his current relationship with him. Cena responded, I can say this. I'm a big advocate of love and friendship. Side note, when I read this the first time, that fucking cracked me up because I've never like seen somebody start a sentence with like, you know, something about me is I believe in sharing and being kind. It's like, well, so does Vince, and that's the problem. I'm a big advocate of love and friendship, and honestly, I'm a big advocate of love and friendship and honesty and communication. But in the same breath, I'm also a big advocate of accountability. I think you being Stern, explained it well. If someone's behavior lies so far outside your value system that the balance shifts of, like, I can't operate in a world where this works, that's the end result of being accountable. Stern then asked Cena how he plans to handle the situation. Cena answered, right now, what I'm going to do is love the person that I love. Be their friend, and by that it means, hey, I love you. You have a hill to climb. There's the saying of, you don't know who your friends are until the shit hits the fan, really poor choice of words, or your back's against the wall. That, I think the shit literally did hit the fan, among other things. That doesn't make any of what's going on any easier to swallow. Another terrible word choice. Jesus. But just telling somebody like, okay, I love you, man. This is going to be a hill to climb. We're going to see what happens, and that's that. It sounds so cliche, but it has to be one day at a time. But at the same token, I've openly said I love the guy. I have a great relationship with the guy. So that's that.
Okay.
Oh, also, there's one more because they recap what Orton said. But then Bret Hart had something to say. Bret Hart also recently spoke to Slate Magazine about McMahon, Janelle Grant's lawsuit. I've always had respect for him, Hart said. Now it's tainted. Kind of a poor choice of words. I'm embarrassed that I thought so highly of him. Which, fair enough, huh?
Okay. First of all, let's start back here with Randy Orton. I wouldn't be where I was. Great man. I don't want to believe the stuff he's saying. Let me see if this makes sense. There's plenty of actresses that wouldn't be as far ahead as they were if they didn't do what they did for Harvey Weinstein. That doesn't make what he did right.
Meltzer also had a good point on that, too, is like, I mean, you might be arguing about semantics with this, but like, his point was, yeah, he gave you a bunch of chances, but like, also, he thought that you were going to make him a fuck ton of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't say the word fuck ton, but like, he did say that Vince didn't really do it out of the kindness of generosity of his own heart as much as he just anticipated that Orton could make him a lot of money.
And probably has.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure. He's been with that company forever. He said 24 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, kind of a circle talk. You know, I love the guy, but, you know, but this is bullshit, but I don't want to believe it, but I got to believe it. But then again, I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't. On the fence, basically, is where he is. Cena.
It's funny you say that, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, Cena just talked himself in circles here.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't say anything except I love the guy. That's really the only thing that he said. Nothing else. Everything else was absurd trying not to answer corporate bullshit bullshit. I'm done now.
Oh, no, I was just going to say what I thought was interesting in regards to that was, like, I know you sort of don't care, but, like, the main sort of the thing that people took umbrage with the most was Cena's statement, like, kind of obviously, I guess, because it was more of just, like, he made it seem like Vince was having a bad day. Or just like he's like, oof, you're having a rough go of it, huh, buddy? You know, like kind of making it seem like Vince was the victim and all this shit. And like you said, doing sort of the talking in circles, corporate rhetoric, that kind of shit. I thought Orton was like kind of the most, was like sort of very transparent of just like, hey, he helped me out a lot, but there, I can also understand that there is this sort of duality where he's done a lot of nice things for me, but probably also could have potentially done some very horrible shit that is just disturbing. But then at the same time, he was also just said, like, you know, there's going to have to be a lot more that comes out before we can really talk about this as employees for that company. And it's like, yeah, fair enough.
Cena cut a promo. Yeah. Cena cut a Cena promo. He'd come out. You know, he'd salute. I can say this. I'm a big advocate of love and friendship and honesty and communication. But in the same breath, I'm also a big advocate of accountability. I think you explained it well. If someone's behavior lies far outside your value system, that balances shifts of like, I can't operate in the world where this works. That's the end result of being accountable. It's a Cena promo, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Cena promo. Complete. Anyway.
Like, and I totally would have understood if he were just like, hey, due process. Like, let's, you know, wait and see how this shakes out before we judge people. It's not my job to judge him, blah, 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 blah. But he's just like, no. Like, he basically made it seem like it wasn't even possible that he did this shit. And he's like, really? Like, and I mean, that's the thing, is like, before I even read what they said, I sort of saw a headline that was like, Cena Orton talk about Vince allegations. It's like, well, you could probably already guess who's going to say what and where they're going to lean, and I was kind of right on both of those stances. Because it seemed like I kind of expected some transparency out of Orton, and I kind of expected Cena to just fucking do a dance.
Well,
and that's basically what happened. Like you said, Cena cut a promo, and Orton was like, yeah, I mean, we know what you know. We read what you read, and it's fucked up, but what can we do? Can't really talk about it. And it's like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Cena just did what he always does. He just talked his way out of it, talked his way through it, but... I mean,
how great would it have been if when Cena got asked, he just started speaking in Mandarin until the guy stopped?
Probably what he should have done. I will say this. You don't get to the level of debauchery Vince is at right now without starting somewhere. And that doesn't come on quick. That takes a while. This has been going on longer than we all think, folks. I believe. I think Cena. I think Orton. I think a lot of people knew. Dude, he was showing nude pics of this girl to the boys in the back. You don't think he's been doing this for a while and bragged about it to the largest star in his company for over a decade, John Cena? A second largest star in Randy Orton? I say bullshit. I call Bravo Sierra on that one, motherfucker.
I mean, it's certainly an interesting, it's a good point. It's an interesting question of just like who knew and who knew what and to what extent did they know?
That's
like,
right.
Not to go like fucking, we were talking about Quentin Tarantino before, and not to go like full Sam Jackson. I mean, fucking Sam Jackson, Sam Elliott for a second there. But the whole known knowns and known unknown shit from Pulp Fiction, it's like, well, what did they know? How much did they know? And who knew what?
That was Sam Jackson, not Sam Elliott.
That would make for a much more interesting movie, potentially.
Sam Elliott, a bad motherfucker. But anyway.
Let me ask you, does he look like a bitch? Why are you trying to fuck him like a bitch, cowboy?
While petting his beard. Petting a goatee. Let me ask you something. I like that guy. Sam Elliott's a bad motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But anyway, I just don't think you get to the level of, like I said, debauchery Vince is at. And it just, oh, One day happens, it doesn't one day happen. That's not how it works. So, I guess we'll have to fucking, I don't know. I mean, no, I don't expect either one of these guys to go out there and trash Vince McMahon. Fuck that guy. No, I don't expect that. But like you said, man, really, really, you know, unnerving stuff has come out. And I think we just need to see how it shakes out from here. Done. Yeah. Done.
It's very interesting. Because, like, I mean, there's really no way of knowing, and there's no way of really asking or really being able to get an answer. But like you said, like, you don't know, you know, it's a chance that Cena knew something or knew something. There's a chance that, like, some of these guys, the wrestlers, because like you said, they were showing crew members, like, photos and text messages and shit. So, like, how do you, no pun intended, like, wrestle with that, like, conflict of being, like, you're able to support your family, your wife, your kids, whatever, but you're doing it on the back of, like, a guy who's done some very fucking terrible shit. No pun intended, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, a lot of people work for companies where the owner has done some terrible shit. But I don't know. That's, I guess you just focus on your family. That's it. You just tunnel vision, man. You tunnel. Mm-hmm. This is the best thing right now for me and my family. Something comes up, whatever. But, I mean, you're under contract with the company. You do what you got to do if you got a family.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know. A lot of crazy stuff going on. Ooh, look who wrote this article. Ian Two Times. Ian, old Ian Two Times. Any redundancies in here? No. All right. Well, I guess we can go from scumbag to scumbag. Let's talk about Dave Meltzer, folks.
I like to sort of pile. I like the idea of, like, basically kind of almost implying that they're on equal footing.
Hey.
Of, like, potential, like, multiple time rapist, and then also Dave Meltzer.
Well, I just said scumbag for scumbag. I didn't say which was worse or better. I just I didn't put him on any levels at all. I just I used the same word. I used the same word for each, Mark.
I want to, you know, see you as, like, a big black dick, you know, just, you know, Tokyo Ghoul, you know. I want to see, Makihito, you know, you're going to get fucked by, you know, the herd business, you know.
Yeah, dick looks like a sore pipe in her hand, you know.
I remember one time, you know, I was being pegged by Aja Kong, you know.
Whoa, Dave.
Right in my dirty ass apartment, me and Isaac Kong made some passionate love under a pile of newspapers.
Look, Dave, you reported on a 10-year-old story as if it was news. Put the fucking alcohol down, man. Stop talking about this stuff. Jesus. So yeah, basically what Meltzer did is he was reporting on the little WrestleMania kickoff press conference, and he, for some reason, I don't know how, but he ended up watching an old thing between The Rock and Triple H at a press conference. They were in each other's face, and Triple H challenged him to a match. Well, folks, it was something for a long time ago. 10 years ago, actually, and Dave Meltzer was basically telling everyone that it was fucking, like, right now. Oh my God, Triple H is getting back in the ring. So Meltzer had to apologize.
You know, it did seem weird to me that China was there, you know, but, you know, I just, you know.
Yeah, he kind of apologized in writing. There's already a correction written for the next issue, and always is when there is a mistake. That was it.
Again, that's That's the shit that we always like to laugh about. Is like you said, there's a correction for the next issue, which probably is talking about the newsletter that people pay money for that doesn't have a fucking proofreader.
Yeah, and he still didn't. He still hasn't. I mean, he still. If you read the other statement he made, somebody had sent me this clip of Dwayne and Paul Levesque face to face, and this and that. It was actually an old clip. Meltzer said, as soon as I found out, I took it out of the thing, and am apologetic about it. It was a mistake. That aspect, it just kind of a bummer for me. It was a mistake. But I'm apologetic. That's not exactly an apology. Is it?
It was a bummer for me.
It was a bummer, you know? It was a mistake.
Bit of a faux pas.
I mean, look, yeah, you could, I get it. All right, the guy admitted his mistake. That's fine. But, jeez, just go, damn, I fucked up. Fished in, baby. I got fished in. Fucking hook. Well,
that would actually be a million times better if fucking Dave Meltzer started speaking in like a bike. It's like, shit, Sunday got me, baby.
Fuck it. Hook, line, sinker. I got fucked. What am I going to do? They got me.
Shit, maybe they mocked the mouse. Ain't nobody doing that.
But what this proves, Mark, is that no fucking digging or research is done for this newsletter, folks.
I fucking could have told you that. We both could have told you that. I mean, shit, they don't even read the shit that they write before they fucking publish it.
We tell you this all the time.
That's what makes me truly angry and bitter and spiteful, is they do the same amount of prep work for their website that people pay for and everybody reads that we do for this that like 10 people listen to. It's the same amount of research and effort that is put into their shit that has made them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's more than 10, I will tell you that. But anyway, really it is. But anyway.
Thank them all, just the same.
I do get what you're saying, though. I do. But, you know, Dave, it's a mistake. You know, it's all right. So, yeah, we'll just keep going from here. So, folks, another quick little... I mean, this is going to be a quick story because there's really no information on it, but it did come out today. And it's saying New Japan Pro Wrestling has entered into a relationship with CWE Costa Rica. Most of us have not heard of CWE. Hell, neither have I, folks. But I thought it was interesting because New Japan's been making a lot of little relationships lately. But this is called Costa Rica Wrestling Embassy, CWE. And New Japan is pleased, it says, New Japan is pleased to announce it has entered into a working relationship with Costa Rica Wrestling Embassy. Try to say that more than once. Founded in March 2014, CWE has been working closely with CMLL in Mexico in 2015. And we'll now see several NJPW names appearing in CWE rings in the future. Look forward to more information to come. This is right off of the New Japan website, by the way. So, once again, New Japan entering into another relationship with a company. Now they're going to be entering into Costa Rica. Breaking into Costa Rica. Not bad, man. Not fucking... Kind of interesting. Like I said, I didn't think we'd spend time on it, but I thought it was an interesting thing to mention, and it did come out today, so I don't know how many people have already heard about it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, you know, they're kind of in a new direction with the company and everything now, because we were talking about Tanahashi being the president a couple weeks ago, so moving in a little bit of a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're definitely having to, like, kind of... shuffle things around and rebuild because, like, a lot of their guys are either getting older or going elsewhere. You know, fucking Okada's gone, Ospreay's gone, so on and so forth.
Well, that's what happens. People do get older. People do get older. They do go elsewhere. I mean, it just happens. None of us are getting this any younger. True. None of us are getting any younger, Smock.
Well, except for R-Truth. He somehow has managed to defy all manner of logic and aging.
I don't know. I mean, that motherfucker smoked. I don't know if he still smokes, but he smoked for years. What the fuck does he put on his skin? What does he eat? What does he drink? I don't know. That man is fucking amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even a wrinkle. What? That's Botox. I know.
Anyway. Do you think so?
No, I don't.
I was going to say that because, I mean, that man just had fucking good, great genetics. They have, Sheamus does the Celtic Warrior workouts on YouTube. So he has like all the WWE people come through and they like do one of the workouts that they do or whatever. And I saw the R-Truth one. I was like, well, shit, I'm going to follow that one. Fucking, it's obviously working. That man does not age at all. And I watched him do his work. And I was like, not in this fucking lifetime will I be able to do any of that. R-Truth. That man's a monster. He was like doing these like jumping onto these like 20-foot boxes or some shit. And it's just like, it was crazy.
And R-Truth was keeping right up with doing everything. Wow.
Oh, no, he had Sheamus gas to fuck out. I mean,
oh, R-Truth, Jesus.
R-Truth was doing the workout that R-Truth does, and Sheamus was trying to keep up with it, and it was not working for him. And my goodness, that man is just a whole nother type of fucking athlete. He's crazy.
Well, we've known that, but, well, speaking of another type of athlete who is aging, Ric Flair, folks, is getting a biopic. And the producer just so happens to be The Rock. Now, this is going to sound very awkward. Flair is complaining publicly about the booking he's getting in AEW. Ric Flair's biopic being produced by The Rock. Ric Flair angling himself to leave AEW and go back to WWE. Give WWE some of that woo energy money?
Mayhaps.
I'm just saying. You got Flair, the biopic, The Rock, producing. The Rock, board of directors. I'm putting two and two together here.
It's entirely possible.
I wouldn't doubt it with Ric Flair. But yes, this is actually of Cleveland.com right here, folks. Cleveland, Ohio. Ric Flair, one of the most influential stars in the history of pro wrestling, could soon have a biopic on his life and long career hitting the big screen. And it's produced by another icon of pro wrestling, actor Dwayne Johnson, who first gained fame while wrestling as The Rock. Johnson confirmed his involvement in the project in a post on social media. He is producing the movie with his company, Seven Bucks Productions, and with Kevin Mishner of Mishner Films. There was no information on a possible release date for the movie, and it just kind of keeps going through Ric Flair's life, which we all know. So there you go, folks. There you go. Do we really need another? First of all, I would love to see where how they handle certain things like some airplane flights. I want to see how they. I would love to see how they handle that one. Because that's not all that happened on that plane ride from hell.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a big thing to skip over that plane ride. But I'm sure it would go into Ric Flair. I mean, the guy survived a fucking plane crash in 75.
Right.
So I'm sure it'll go into all that, more of his life, WCW, all that. A lot of stuff we all know, though.
Yeah, that's actually kind of the funny thing is, like, you're making a biopic about somebody who just never stops talking about themselves. Like, we've already heard this from him over and over and over. And it, like, honestly, we were talking about the whole McMahon thing. But, like, it kind of is, it's the same situation for me, at least, of just like, Yeah, guy was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but he's also allegedly done some pretty despicable shit, and I'm not really kind of in the mood to see any sort of movies that, like, glorify him. Like, it already feels uncomfortable watching him on AEW, honestly, but
well,
it is what it is.
Well, especially when he can barely walk and is losing his hair. He's got fucking liver spots all over him now. It's just...
Yeah, like, even if you take away the whole, like, plane situation, whatever, like, if you just, the man, he's not what he used to be. Like, as much as people, like, fucking making fun of JR, bashing JR, criticizing JR, or whatever, about him losing the heat on his fastball, like, that Flair promo was not good.
No. I mean, he's slurring through his promos. It's like his dentures are not aligned.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he's slurring, and it also, like you said, not really like you said, but just sort of kind of implied, it seems like he would have rather have been anywhere else. Like, he doesn't seem like he's very much into it, and he's slurring, and he's, like, just disinterested.
Well, that's kind of the thing right now. But did go talk to the Young Bucks, so I guess we'll see what happens with Matthew and Nicholas. But since we are talking about the Young Bucks, and Sting's last match, I guess Kevin Nash was actually invited to Sting's last match, and WWE told him he couldn't go. I gotta say, I'm not 100% sure about that. That's the truth, because I don't know if you saw the pictures, but fucking Bayley was at a fucking TNA show, dressed up like she wasn't Bayley, but everyone knew it was Bayley with Sasha. So
they fuck it. She knows better not to be in front of the camera, because they fucking do her like the Highlander guy.
Well, there you go. But I'm just saying, I don't know. But Kevin Nash basically said this.
I just like the idea of Bayley as just a full on fucking disguise, like glasses, like fake nose. It's like fucking like a Groucho Marx situation going on. And then she's like trying to be all incognito, and it's like, yeah, everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can see, they can tell from behind.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Like, you could, it's like, hey, who is this in the luchador mask with the giant S?
I know who that is.
I know that ass anywhere.
I've seen that ass before, my man. I've seen that ass before. So here you go. Kevin Nash said he asked me to be a part of it, and I just said that. Because of my positioning with WWE, I couldn't. Wait, he didn't ask? Oh, wait. This makes it seem like he was told no. He didn't even ask. If I went in the crowd, it would be a potential conflict of interest. I just think he wanted me to be there because I was just one of the guys that's been with him the whole run, Nash said. I think he was disappointed. I mean, I was disappointed, but I knew that WWE would say no, he added. But again, would they have? This isn't the same WWE. This isn't Vince's WWE. Ask. Just ask. Maybe. Just ask. Anyway.
I think he probably knows. Maybe. Because, there's occasionally times when, like, WWE people will do shit elsewhere. Like, a year or two ago, you had the thing with, like, Shinsuke working the Wrestling Noah event because it was, like, the last match for Great Muta. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, that happened. But, like, that's kind of different. That's not apples to apples. They probably know that they can't have any sort of involvement with AEW. It is what it is.
I don't know, man. I don't think they would care if he just showed up for the last match. I don't think they would care. I really don't.
Maybe backstage, but yeah, I don't think, you know, can't like go buy a ticket.
I don't know. I just don't think they would give a shit as much as he thinks they would. But I don't know, Smark. I'll tell you what the most interesting article though that came out yesterday was, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Veteran producer and director Jennifer Pepperman has joined AEW as VP of Content Development. She is a writer, folks. That's what she is for AEW. She's been on shows like As the World Turns or One Life to Live. As a matter of fact, I'm getting this article right here off of soapoperanetwork.com.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. I figured what could be more credible than Soap Opera Network. I'd be like, fucking...
They probably have a fucking proofreader on, like, The Observer.
It seems like they do. It seems like they do. But,
How great would it be you click the link at soapoperanetwork.com, and then it's like, story by Ian Carey.
Wait a minute. No.
That motherfucker is everywhere.
No, not even close. Not even close. But yeah, I guess last week it was reported that she had left her role as the senior writer and producer in WWE, which I didn't even know. And now she's gone right over to AEW. So in her new role, she'll work right alongside Mr. Tony Khan. And they will be basically collaborating and writing with him. This is exactly what it was said right here. Adding Jennifer Pepperman's brilliant mind to the AEW team opens the door for exciting new ideas and will help us build upon the incredible stories currently developing on the road to AEW Revolution across our... the road to revolution. The road... Where have I heard a road? A road to WrestleMania. Yeah. Anyway.
Victory Road.
Victory Road. That's right. That's right. Cody Rhodes. And across our three weekly shows on TBS and TNT, and the effects of Jennifer's arrival in AEW will be felt for many years in the future, said Khan in a statement. We're thrilled to welcome her today, and I look forward to her creativity and collaboration with our team across the board in what will be AEW's biggest year yet and beyond. No, I did not make up the and beyond. I swear to God. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, folks. Interesting. Very interesting. They've hired a helper for Tony, which is good. Now, if they'd only hire someone to go back there and kick some fucking ass. But anyway, this may be good for AEW. I'm sure. I really wish I had read the Facebook or Twitter comments on this. But it's just, this is going to be either good or bad. You're either going to start getting very soap opera-y, WWE-like stories, or maybe it'll help. Who knows? I guess we'll have to just wait and see for the next couple of months.
I actually think it's going to be a good thing, because, like, I don't mind the idea of having, like, non-wrestling people come in and sort of help with like stories and angles and shit, because just like that is a problem in AEW, especially is that I wouldn't say that there's a lack of stories, because there are stories that's going on, but just a lack of compelling stories. So like, yeah, maybe a little bit of drama and theatrics wouldn't be such a bad thing, because I mean, like, fucking, if you look at Lucha Underground, that was basically just a TV show that used wrestling to like progress the plot,
right?
And it was fucking great.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it wouldn't hurt if you had more non-conventional stories that just weren't just strictly based on, like, you know, the same sort of, like, tropes that you see in wrestling all the time anyway. Right. It'd be nice if you saw some different shit going on that you don't normally see.
Yeah, it would help. So, let's see. Let's hope it does help. Let's hope it doesn't start getting corny. But, I mean, you got to think about it. These shows, As the World Turned, One Life, these are shows that have been around since I was a kid, folks, and I'm way older than Smark. Mm-hmm. So,
but I mean, that's what people have always said about wrestling, though. Kind of is like tongue in cheek, I guess. But it's, you know, it's a soap opera for dudes, right? And like, if you're saying, I believe you said that she was like the senior, like one of the senior writers for WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like, think about where they are right now in terms of stories. Like, they've been doing really well from a creative standpoint in terms of the storytelling that they've been doing the last like 2 years or so with the whole Bloodline thing and a couple other different stories that they were doing.
Yeah, who knows how much, you know, input she had on those. So, hey, let's all just fucking take a little, take a step back and wait. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I will also say, just by the by, the name Jennifer Pepperman is a cool name.
Pepperman.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, though?
I would. It's not, because I threw my keyboard response.
Well, be careful there, buddy. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a pretty cool name. Jennifer Pepperman.
It's not bad. It's really not that bad. I am looking for... I'm trying to think. Listen, we've talked a little bit about a few things on Dynamite already. We don't need to spend a ton of time on it. I will say, well, that first match felt like it took forever. When it went to a time draw limit, I'm like, are y'all sure you timed this shit right? Because it felt longer.
Well, like, notoriously, people say that they, like, fudge the numbers with shit like that anyway. Like, especially, like, it's not AEW, but the Royal Rumble numbers. The intervals are, like, it's seemingly made up sometimes. This is, like, the only instance in wrestling where you feel like they lied to you that it was actually way longer than it should have been.
It felt like it, man. It felt like it. But it did go to a time limit draw. After that, we had a lot of FTR on this show. I guess they're confident Cass Wheeler is going to be okay in his little gun-pulling incident. So, and they've even got a match at Revolution now against Blackpool Combat Club. Not Cesaro. I apologize. Moxley and Claudio. Holy shit. My brain is not good today. Smark, we got to talk about, we had the return of Jake Hager.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly did. We had the return of Jake Hager come out. He was there in white shoes, a pair of shorts, and sunglasses. He looked like he literally just got off of a boat and from being at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally shooters on the water in Fort Lauderdale, which is literally a bar you can pull up to on a boat.
I was just about to say, he was like, he's at the fucking, like, the Margaritaville, and Tony Khan just rushed up to him and told him they needed him.
That's about what he looks like. Now,
he comes fucking running down to the ring with a jalapeno popper dangling out of his mouth.
She just throws a drink back with a fucking little fucking mini umbrella comes flying out.
Buddy, I have fucking chocolate full of Bahama Mamas right now, and I'm ready to rumble.
Celery comes flying out of the Bloody Mary.
Hell yeah.
Now, before we saw Jake Hager tonight, he actually made the save for Orange Cassidy, who was going against Mike Bennett. And I figured it out, folks. Mike Bennett is the Timu Claudio. That's what Mike Bennett is. He is a Timu Claudio. They really do look alike. They've got the same build. They both have the shaved head. Claudio's a little more jacked, but it's the same thing. I'll take Claudio over him any day. I'm not a Mike Bennett fan, folks. Never have been. I apologize. But anyway, it was good to see Hager back.
Yes.
After that, this motherfucker's out here stealing my women. Renee Paquette was interviewing Ric Flair. Well, before that, Renee Paquette was actually talking to Angelo Parker, who was waiting for Ruby Soho.
Mm-hmm.
I like the dress. She doesn't look right in it at all. Not quite sure why they made her do this. I think they should have let her go out a little more as her, but I get where they're going with this little storyline. I thought she looked kind of hot in the dress, but
I hope I get where they're going with this. I full on, like, this doesn't solve anything or serve anything in a wrestling capacity, but, like, I full on want this to become, like, a fucking early 2000 or even, like, mid-80s fucking teen rom-com storyline. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. It's just, like, it turns out that, like, fucking Parker and Menard had this bet going on that, like, he could, like, bag her, and within, like, 2 months or some shit, then she finds out, and then he has to, like, run to her on a rooftop and tell her that he's always cared about. I just wanted this fucking, like, corny, stupid, like, rom-com type storyline with them.
And then Heath Ledger and Paul Walker show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. shows up behind him, like, whoa, what are you guys doing here, man? And it's like, Julia Stiles, look at you too. Okay.
Yes. They're probably all available. That would be the most wild way to announce it if I would Freddie Prinze Jr. to their writing team. So yeah, this is his storyline.
Two of them are unfortunately not available. Yeah, not, or Paul Walker. They're both gone.
As Heath Ledger is very much unavailable from this project.
As is Paul Walker, again. You don't know who Paul Walker is, do you?
Whoopsie daisy. No, the Fast and Furious guy.
Right. Yeah, he blew up in a Porsche. But anyway, Ruby Soho did look pretty good in the dress, I will say that. I'd be happy to walk in anywhere with her.
That is actually funny that you said Julia Stiles, because that was a name that was on my mind too, because that's exactly who I was thinking of when I was thinking of those shitty 2000s rom-com movies.
Well, yeah.
Like, that's what we need.
Well, yeah.
Who she has to teach somebody how to dance, though. That's going to be a fit. Powerhouse Homs? I mean, I hate to say it, but that she had a pattern of people she worked with in those movies, so let's just put two and two together. I'm not going to say it, but I'm going
to
say it.
No, you don't have to teach anyone how to dance. They're all professional dancers once you get into the school.
It's true.
I mean, have you not seen these movies? By the way, I actually like, dude, I'll watch fucking Can't Hardly Wait. I will watch She's All That. I will watch fucking, what's the other one? I will watch those movies. I like those fucking movies. Those early 2000s, late 90s fucking rom-coms were not bad.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was I wish she would have been fucking wearing glasses, and then she took the glasses off and Parker just fucking oversold, like, oh my god, I can't believe it. You're actually not a nerd at all.
Well, she's never been a nerd. She's like a rebel, a runaway.
Yeah.
Like a punk. Well,
that is funny, though, because you said the dress, like, looked weird on it. That it always does. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about her physical appearance. She's a good-looking girl. But, like, if you look at any, there's been other times where she's worn dresses or, like, the Hall of Fame ceremony and shit like that. Anytime she's in a dress, it just does not look right. It's the same thing about, like, how Punk threw a temper tantrum about having to wear a fucking tuxedo.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, it doesn't work. It's they don't look right in those outfits.
No. But, like I said, I did like that they kind of gave her a little bit of a flair. They got the little slashes around the stomach area and stuff. Nice dress, man. Very nice dress. But mm-hmm. then we see an SUV coming in, basically it looked like a fucking expedition or something. And Ruby goes, oh, is that our ride? Parker's like, no, I got us a lift. She's like, oh, okay. Anyway, you see a foot. And this foot takes about 35 seconds to finally get down to the fucking street.
I'm glad you said that, because I knew immediately it was Flair, just based on the fact that it took him forever to get out of the car, and he was limpy when he did. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And why did you think this was a good idea to shoot this way?
Yeah, it took 15 more seconds to get his other foot out the door. And then you see him walking, and he's... I'm sorry. Listen, I've said this so many times, I have to say it again. I love Ric Flair, folks. I do. I know he's done some nasty, nasty things, but I have great memories of Ric Flair promos, Ric Flair in the ring, and I just always thought he was one of the best, and I fucking love his promos. The promos bring back memories for me. So I love the guy, but seeing him like this, with his 22-inch earlobes just is not what I want to see. I don't want to see fucking liver spots in this guy's head. I don't want to hear him barely able to talk. I want Ric Flair to just retire, relax, and leave the memories alone. That's it. I don't know how you feel, Smark, but please tell me.
No, and I mean, I agree. Like I said, you just, even you take away all the, like, you know, allegations and shit like that, he obviously was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And, like, it just, it, even if you are a fan of his, you know, even if you'd be willing to look past all that shit, you don't want to see him looking the way he's looking. Like you said, like, he's just one of the greatest promos ever, for sure. And he's not anymore.
No.
You know, he's, like you said, fucking lisping, slurring, just very unenthusiastically delivering his lines. It's just, like, kind of, you're tainting a little bit of your legacy. Like, not permanently, not forever. Like, kind of almost a little bit like how the Shawn Michaels situation. Because I feel like he personally, in my opinion, is he's like the greatest all-around performer, in my opinion. But then you see that he's the fucking the Saudi Arabia match that he had, and it was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, you look like absolute shit. Like, stop. Just dude, stop.
At a time, you just can't do it anymore. And no, I'm not saying, look, I know Flair is not getting into the fucking ring and doing stuff right now. He would if they'd let him. He would if they would let him.
Absolutely.
Oh, he would if they would let him. So, anyway, I think we both agree. Ric Flair just needs to leave the memories alone. He does go. He knocks on the Bucks door. And, you know, obviously he was there for Sting, and now he's knocking on their door. And he's like, I just want to talk. He should manage Hager. My God. Be like fucking Daffy Duck and Donald Duck talking fucking together.
I mean, I know you're saying that because of this the old speech impediment thing, but man, what I wouldn't give to see fucking Ric Flair in the fucking Screaming Eagle costume or whatever it was that Hager had. We had the Soaring Eagle with him, I think it was.
The Soaring Eagle.
Like, yeah, okay, that was a WWE property, but like, you could probably have like fucking the Hager, the Hager Sloth or something. Just fucking put Ric Flair out there in a mascot outfit.
Hager Sloth. The Hager Sloth. That's fitting. That's fitting. I'm thinking about it as I'm laughing at it. I'm like, you know what? That's I can't get much better than that. That's fitting. Mm-hmm. That's fitting. Good.
I was trying to do an alliteration thing, and then I couldn't think of an animal that also had an H name. A hen came up after I said it, but it was just like I wanted Flair in a mascot outfit. I do think the Hager Sloth is better than a Hager hen or any other potential situation.
It could have been the Hager hippopotamus.
Ooh, the Hager hippo. Yes,
the Hager hedgehog.
Hager the hedgehog.
Hager, yes. The hedgehog. There you go. Hager's horses.
Ooh.
Hager's horses. The horses of Hager. And that matches Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Horse, horseman, four, horseman, horse, Hager. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Look at this. We're fucking.
Like, I personally
we're literally
Hager the Hedgehog the most.
Yeah, I mean, we just said we wanted this fucking guy gone, and now we're coming up for ideas. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with us here?
Although Ric Flair is literally the exact opposite of Sonic the Hedgehog at this point.
But yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's actually none of the characters at all. So. He's fucking.
I have a little bit of a Dr. Robotnik thing going on, but.
More of like a dopey Smurf thing going on. But anyway, after that, folks, Daniel Garcia comes out. And folks, they're trying with him. They are trying. You've got a few people doing the dance. I get it. That's great. That's great. But two times I heard about four people try to start chants, and it did not work during this.
No, not four people. The same person four different times.
I it might have. I'm glad we heard the same thing. I'm they did it like
silence.
Three times, and then they stopped. The second time they tried, four times, and it stopped. They didn't even get anyone else. It was almost embarrassing. I will say, though, once Christian came out, thank you, Christian. Thank you, Christian, for coming out. Greatly appreciated. Christian comes out, and it was came out with Luchasaurus, Nick Wayne, and Mama Wayne. And Christian immediately starts talking about Garcia's dad, and you're like, oh, I know where this is going. Mm-hmm. We knew where this was going, folks. And he starts, and immediately, your dad was this, he was that, and your dad is dead. And the whole crowd was like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. So Christian goes into it, starts talking about how his father was nothing but a loser, an alcoholic who lost his life to the bottle. And I got to say, this wasn't a bad little interlude, a little promo by Garcia here. This actually did a little bit. The crowd actually liked it. But I liked how Christian said at Revel, because Garcia is getting the match against Christian for the title at Revolution. And Christian says he doesn't want to be Garcia's opponent. He wants to be his father. And he said it just like that. His father.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great. Every bit of it. Nick Wayne went down to try to get Garcia. Garcia took him out. Luchasaurus too. And great little fucking segment there. I'm telling you, man, Christian, as big of an asshole as he is must watch for me.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's been doing it for a minute now, but I'm just still in absolute awe that he's managed to turn the phrase, your dad is dead, into a catchphrase. Like, it is the most masterful shit. Yep. And, like, what I feel, I honestly, like, really and truly think that he is, like, the best heel right now. Like, maybe not, like, the best promo, the best talk or whatever, but, like, just a pure fucking heel because, like, you know the guy, you like the guy, like, as a person. But the character, even though you enjoy watching the character, you want to see him get his comeuppance. Like, you want to see him get beat up. You want to see him, you know, have to pay the consequences for all the shit he's talking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a heel character that doesn't make you, that isn't, like, too cool to be a heel character, to be disliked, but also not boring and you want to change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's, like, in that very perfect area of, like, just being a, like, loathsome, terrible piece of shit, like, as a character that you want to see get beat up. Like, he's doing a fucking phenomenal job.
Yeah, he really is, man. Like I said, every time he comes out, I mean, I'm just like, whoa, whoa, everyone shut the fuck up. Everyone shut up. I gotta listen to this. Or I'll put the headphones on. He's great. He's absolutely great at what he does. He is just, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'll tell you, the next match was quick, but it was decent, Toni Storm and Cindy Winnell. But after the match, Deonna Purrazzo came down, and they did this really, really cool thing. Mark, I think I can share this screen with you. I should be able to. So you can see this picture I've got here. Let me hit stop sharing, and then let's get this screen going. Yeah, here it is right here. I'll make it a little better for you when I get to it. All right, you can see that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did this little picture with Deonna Purrazzo coming down here. And as you can see, I'm sorry everybody else can't, but the half where Deonna Purrazzo is standing is in color, and the half where Toni Storm is standing is in black and white. This is pretty cool to be able to do on a live fucking television show.
Yeah, and they're on the entrance ramp, so they're, like, right next to each other. But like you said, it's divided in half.
It was a pretty fucking cool thing that they did, I thought. It was pretty fucking cool. Well,
it is neat. I do like it.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Deanna Purrazzo was out there against Madison Rain, and she did beat Madison Rain. So, but I thought that was a pretty cool thing they did, and I'm liking this stuff with those two. But the part where I think everybody was expecting Christian to come in was when, like we said earlier, when Sting was talking about his father. I think everybody took a quick fucking deep breath and gasped. Do they have the balls? Okay.
Like, please do it, please do it, please do it, please do it. Like I said, they totally, it would have completely fucking ruined all the momentum that the promo had. Like, it would have ceased being about Sting. Mm. But, like, oh my God, it would have just been the greatest moment if he just walked on to the fucking set during that promo. It's like,
oh yeah.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the line.
I thought, I swear, I'm like, oh my God, they can't be going here. And I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't. Because it was very easy to do. But I'm glad they stayed away from it. Wardlow came down after that. And again, this guy just looks like the dude at the college party that's going to steal your keg.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. He does. He just looks like he's coming down to take your keg. And you're going to owe, you know, $55 to the guy. But anyway, Wardlow came out. And, you know, not going to lie, he came out, he's pissed off. He cut a pretty decent promo. But he did bring up something, though, Smart, that we've brought up a few times.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that 2 years ago, this man had fucking fans chanting his name, and suddenly they fucking took the iron off of him. It's like they put out the fuse they had. You know, it was, and no one knew why. And I'm glad he brought it up because it makes it a little better. But I got to tell you, this was more of a babyface promo than a heel promo. Even the ending line, even to me, the ending line was more babyface. This is no longer wrestling. This is war. Wardlow, war. Get it? I know you do. I'm just saying it. Anyway.
Sure.
This came off like a fucking babyface promo to me. I've been ignored for too long. It's my time. It's fucking, I mean, we've heard this all before. Let's wait 3 weeks. He's going to be right back to where he was. But anyway.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I liked a good portion of this promo, but I don't like the fact, like you said, you liked Ed, the fact where he was talking about he had a rocket strapped to him and then the rocket was put on backwards because he fucking hit the ground. And it's like, it's cool that they acknowledge it, I guess, but like also not really, because two things. First off, you're watching the TV show, so you're like, you kind of want to go along with the TV show and not have them bring up the fact that, yes, there are predetermined winners and losers. So it's like, yeah, it's a great way to kind of jolt you out of the, you know, world that you're trying to immerse yourself in. Like, yes, obviously we fucking know that, but at the same time, you know, like, people don't get shot in TV shows and then just be like, hey, Al Pacino here, not really dead, come see my next film. Like, that shit doesn't happen, you know? So it's like, all right, let's leave it with that. And then also, maybe don't point out the inconsistencies in your booking, because they did that also with the Samoa Joe thing,
yep,
the triple threat, because he cut a promo and he was literally like, you know, the wins and losses are supposed to mean something, and you guys, Hangman and Swerve, you didn't win your match and you got a title shot anyways. This is bullshit. It's like, yeah, you're right. Like, this isn't a good storyline, though. This isn't being like, yeah, the booking here is fucking questionable. What is going on? It's like, let's maybe tone down the meta shit just a touch.
Yeah, a little. And, you know,
Also, real quick.
No, please.
He mentioned multiple times about wanting to eat and wanting to be fed.
And it's like,
don't do it. That didn't work for the last guy. Like, I honest to God thought there was going to be a Feed Me More chant that started.
Uh-huh.
I was like, you are putting yourself in dangerous territory, my friend.
I am glad you mentioned it, because I might have forgot. I was going to say the same thing. He did it 2 to 3 times, and I'm like, are they going to bring in Ryback? And you know,
he was fucking chomping at the bit, because you know somebody at the very least mentioned it to him if he didn't see himself live.
Oh yeah, But, you know, and again, I was okay with them mentioning it, but they made it literally with the rocket turned upside down. What is this, a fucking Acme cartoon? Meep, 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 meep. Come on now. I don't know.
And like you said, it does come off as a face promo because he's basically saying, you know, again, you're trying to put out that wins matter and shit. And he's like, look, I beat like the last three champions. Why haven't I gotten the title shot? It's like, good point. Like, this doesn't work really as a bad guy. He's like, yeah, you're right. You're kind of being dicked over.
Well, if you, and exactly. And if you think about it, dude, this is how fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin got over. This was one of the most anti-establishment promos I've ever fucking heard from him.
It was his best one, I'll say that.
Yeah, but sure. It's anti-establishment. Exactly what made Stone Cold Stone fucking Cold. That's what we loved about him. So, I don't know. This seemed like a huge babyface promo. Made no sense to me at all. But hey, I'm just some guy with a fucking mixer and a microphone. What do you want me to do? What do I know, Smark? What do we know, Smark? What do we know? Not a goddamn thing, I'll tell you that. But folks, don't forget Will Ospreay will be on next week because he is now done with New Japan. And I don't think he's going to make one bit of difference in the viewership. But hey, again, who am I to say?
Mala Libre. I understand that they had a very limited amount of stuff that they could use that were actually like their own footage. But the fact that it was like a 30-second promo package and he said bro twice just fucking got me.
That's his word. That's his word.
Thank God he didn't go to WWE though, because could you imagine like fucking Will Ospreay just doing like an Austin Powers gimmick? Maybe Triple H wouldn't have saddled him with that shit, but you know Vince would have.
Yeah, Triple H likes the likes a little different than Vince. Triple H is a little more traditional.
True.
He'd rather him be a bruiser than a. But you never know. You never know. Might get a little phone call from Vince. Got an idea, pal. Don't tell anyone it's me.
Good shit.
Just say hi, Stephanie. Oh, hi, Stephanie. All right. Okay. That Ospreay guy. Yeah, baby.
All right. Okay. Oh, no. That's not Shagadelic at all.
Stephanie. What are you talking about? Okay. Anyway. Boy, I guess we get to the quick main event. Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Brian Cage. Beat Hangman Page, Hook, and RVD. There was a little video after the show of Hangman limping out, not being able to put pressure on his ankle. Might be hurt, so we'll have to find out if that was bad or just a little sprain. RVD looking a little old, and I don't think he gives a fuck. He can still go in the ring.
Okay, so a couple of things about that. First off, let's see, hold on a second. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you not hear me?
Okay, my headphones were dying, so I had to switch them out.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Just making sure that everything was working.
Yep, you're good.
Excellent. It's funny that you mentioned RVD looking old, because I was actually looking at him, and I was like, man.
Meant to why you should smoke weed instead of, like, pills and alcohol, because this motherfucker, like, okay, yeah, he looks older, but he doesn't look any worse. You know what I mean? Like, he just looks older. He looks perfectly fine. He doesn't look like he's in absolute pain with every step that he takes.
No. Good for him. Yeah, I agree, man. Good for him. I'm fucking.
And like, I understand that was like paper and everything is his character, but I love the idea of the promo is just like Hangman yelling at him for not taking shit seriously enough, and just in the background making faces. I was like, oh, this is fucking wonderful.
Yeah,
I love this.
Yeah, I just I'm always good seeing RVD. You sound a little. For some reason, your mic went out a little bit. It's like underwater-ish. Might need to.
I know what happened. Give me a second.
You didn't select your earbuds. I know.
No, I fucking routed the microphone back to the headphones. But yeah, he doesn't look bad. He just looks like an older version of himself. So it's like, he doesn't look like he's in pain all the time.
No.
So that's good.
No, still looks good. I wasn't shitting on the guy one bit. Listen, he has gotten older. It was a fact. I wasn't trying to shit on the guy. I don't think he cares. I don't think he needs to care because he can still fucking go in the ring. He doesn't look any different out there. Maybe a little.
Yeah, he looks good.
A little slower. He's a little slower.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, look, man, age catches up to all of us folks one way or the other.
Well, it's a bad barometer to kind of measure things on, but I was actually thinking about that because I watched that first TNA pay-per-view from when they rebranded. They're back to TNA. I watched that, and fucking Tommy Dreamer was in there, and I was like, oh, my God, why are you still doing this? And then I was watching Rob Van Dam, and I was like, million times better. Like, give me Rob Van Dam. Sure, he's lost a step a little bit. Give me fucking Rob Van Dam over Tommy Dreamer any day. Like, even probably still in their prime, but like, just, oh my God, definitely no.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, RVD still going out there, nailing the Rolling Thunder, doing the Frog Splash. It's still RVD, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, he's not jumping over the fucking ropes doing stupid shit, but he's fucking old now. Come on, folks. He does not want to get hurt, folks. This guy has a wife and a girlfriend, and they are both smoking hot. You think he wants to get hurt, not be able to go home and get a rub down? No.
Exactly. And I mean, like, look at it, like, just kind of,
exactly.
It's a little bit depressing, but.
Exactly. Like,
well, I mean, shit, I wouldn't jeopardize his own life to fucking take a bump on Dynamite. Absolutely not. But I mean, like, for real, like, look at the other people that he worked with in ECW.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, a large number of them are dead. The other ones are not wrestling anymore. It's like Tommy Dreamer still wrestles sometimes. That's about it. There's probably one or two other ones that I'm just not thinking of. But, like, Taz retired.
Yep.
Jerry Lynn works for AEW, but he's in the backstage. He doesn't wrestle anymore. You know, so on and so forth. You can name a bunch of other people. He's still moving really well. I mean, considering everybody else that, you know, his contemporaries. To go back to the Hangman thing.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently what ended up happening, and this is from Alvarez, I guess take it with a grain of salt or whatever, but this is the news that we have now from the sources that we have now.
Sauces.
It's apparently he was apparently working the ankle injury. Because okay. He has, they don't know what, they're not saying what, nobody's saying what. He apparently has some personal stuff going on that might cause him to not be able to work the pay-per-view. So he did the ankle injury, like, at the very end of the match. He did all of his other obligations, wrestled the entire match otherwise. And then he pretended to land wrongly on his ankle, and, like, he's claiming that his ankle is broke, like, storyline-wise, that he was apparently telling the cameraman that. So he's leaving the ankle injury out there in the event that he can't do the pay-per-view. That's going to be what happened, is that he fucked up his ankle trying to get out of the muscle buster.
Oh, because this was all off-camera. This was a fan cam. I have it. Do I have it? Here it is right here. I can share my desktop with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait. I know.
Well, yeah, because he got out of the Muscle Buster. He landed, and then he, like, rolled out of the ring. But then when the match was over, they showed him.
Whoa.
Holding his leg.
Holding his
foot.
Hold on. Sorry about that. I did that with. We don't need the volume on. I guess we can turn the volume down. And we can turn it on. Let me share the screen with you, sir. We're going to go to Skype. We're going to share. I wish I could share with everybody, but Smark is just special. He's going to hear it and see it. Okay.
Many ways.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Right there. Oh, I muted it here. This is just a fan cam. As you see.
I'm back to ECW, the fan cam.
Trainer did a jerk off motion. Oh, you're jerking everyone off. I get it. He actually did. Look at his hand. Wait a minute. Look. See?
Wow.
That is a beautiful beard on this giant security guard right here. Look, one guy cheering for Hook.
Look. Hook, Garcia.
Same thing. But anyway, yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm just saying, the cameras weren't on, so Alvarez, you might be a lying piece of shite, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there's an article, you can actually, if you want to, there's an article on F4W where they talk about it, but it was this whole big, long saga, because I actually watched the video of, like, at first he was under the impression that he was injured, and then it turned out that it was a work, but then the people close to him didn't even know that it was a work, and they thought he was injured, so it was like this whole big thing, but basically the story that they're going with right now is that it's a work, because he has personal issues that could cause him to miss pay-per-view, but they don't know yet.
They don't know yet, so that's okay. So really, yep,
there are known knowns and there are known unknowns,
right? So really, we're just guessing that it's a work because someone said it was. Who could be working
pretty
them
much, I mean, honestly.
Oh Jesus, there goes fucking someone called Michael P.S. Hayes to drop a dime. Michael, you been drinking? Oh, dude, baby.
God, I would love, I would love for him to fucking, how great would that be if, like, because we got to be coming up on the end of the Hardy Boys at this point.
Oh, soon.
Just one more match of fucking Doc Hendricks and the Hardy Boys.
Oh, no. No. First of all, he ain't leaving WWE. Oh, no.
I, honest to God, forgot that he had not been fired.
No, not yet.
That is a fucking the upset of the millennium. If, like, they got rid of all the people that had, like, misconduct over the last couple of years, he somehow managed to keep his nose clean.
Oh, that guy knows where the fucking bodies are buried. He's been around a long time. Oh, yeah. That guy knows where the fucking Vince McMahon graveyard is. Oh, yes.
Also, think about this for a second, because there's all these sort of, like you said, there's a lot of allegations that are coming out that are resurfacing, new ones are happening, so on and so forth. The fact that we have not heard anything from Rosa Mendez means that she consensually fucked Michael Hayes. So good for you, Michael Hayes, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Maybe, I'm not sure.
No, that wasn't it. Well, maybe. Okay.
It happened.
She did have some beautiful breastises. Go ahead.
I don't even know why, but I just, there's something about me that just, I love Michael Hayes. Like, actually, I kind of do know why. He's sleazy. He's a sleazy looking man, and he acts weird.
I'd like to sit down and have a few drinks with him. I wouldn't mind. Not one bit. Not one bit, man. But, I got nothing else to say. We've got nothing else to do.
Actually, so, he's like that uncle that comes for Valentine's Day. That'd be weird. He's the uncle.
He probably would.
He is the uncle that comes on Valentine's Day. No, he's the uncle.
Where's the party? It was for the kids. Oh, I brought wild turkey.
Okay. He's putting fucking mini shot bottles into the fucking kids' little Valentine's Day boxes at the schools.
Don't tell your parents.
So, tell you what, one time me and Terry Gordy got fucked up in wild turkey, brother, and it's like, this is the worst bring your parent to work day ever. No, what I was trying to say,
bad is street. Like the uncle that comes up. Atlanta, GA.
he's giving a commencement speech at a community college. They did ask him to be there. Yeah, so long story short, Thanksgiving uncle that shows up and, like, gets drunk and makes an ass of himself and he's entertaining, so you don't necessarily agree with his viewpoints, but he's just fun to watch.
I think that's me sometimes.
I'm absolutely tickled at the idea of Michael Hayes giving a commencement speech at a fucking community college.
When I grew up on Bad Street, potential. Some of you can make it on Bad Street. Some of you,
we all could be.
wouldn't.
Dream big. You could be an assistant manager at Target. The world is your oyster. Some of you, you could start your own truck stop.
You could be the assistant to the assistant manager, folks. If you think big enough.
I understand this is actually a trade school and we don't really give commencement speeches here. But,
He's at DeVry.
The graduating class of ITT Tech. I've been paid in commencements.
Hi. This is Michael P. You got me laughing too hard. Hi, this is Mike P.S. Hayes for DeVry Academy.
I'm here on behalf of the University of Phoenix to tell you that you paid the necessary amount to obtain a degree. You could also be an ordained minister if you want to pay an extra $20. Who cares?
Hi, this is Michael P.S. Hayes. I know you're all here to get your CDLs. That's a good. That's here at the Career Trucking School. I ain't gonna lie.
On behalf,
truckers are awesome.
On behalf of the Flying J Corporation,
hell yeah! Looking
forward to seeing many of you on the road.
You got a Flying J about 20 miles from me. Dude, I'm telling you, everything down the street from me are truck stops. We have a Denny's at a truck stop.
It's even better if you picture it as being a cameo.
Oh,
it's just a cameo. It's a fucking like the audio is shit, the video quality is shit. It's being played on a projector. Michael Hayes via cameo, giving a speech to fucking University of Phoenix ITT Tech type situation.
Oh, just imagine the outfit he's wearing. It's purple. Whatever it is, it's purple, and it's fuzzy. It's fuzzy, and every time he moves, dust comes off.
It's purple, there's a fedora involved, the zipper is absolutely undone. You know it is.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. All right. All right. It's time for us to get out of here. Oh, man. Yeah, Jesus, I'm sweating. I've got to put a ceiling fan in this room. I am sweating right now from fucking laughing. And my nose is running. So we need to go. Don't forget, folks, we're still trying to crack into that Woo Energy money with the logos on the sides here.
Oh, boy. Maybe we should retract all the shit that we said about Ric Flair.
Nah. We didn't say anything that bad. We said we loved him.
The obviously innocent Ric Flair, who is as good as he's always been on the microphone, did an amazing job.
Absolutely. I can't wait to drink my next Woo Energy. I don't even know where to fucking buy them.
That it tastes like mushrooms is actually an incentive and not a pejorative.
I think you can buy them on Amazon. I just don't know, man. Anyway, folks, that is it. That was fun. Fucking
sold exclusively at the Piggly Wiggly.
Hey, we still have A&Ps down here, man.
Big Lots exclusive.
Fuck yeah.
Nasty ass mushroom energy.
Fuck, I love me some Big Lots. We got family dollars. We have family dollars and Dollar Trees in the same stores with different entrances, but they're right beside each other.
Holy shit, that is amazing. That is the most southern thing I could think of. It's like a fucking combination Dollar Tree, Dollar General store.
Well, and I'm telling you, all these places right here that we have right down the road from me are all restaurants, but they're connected to truck stops.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Love's right here. It's got a Subway and a Godfather's Pizza. There's a Pilot down the road with a McDonald's. There's a Exxon a little bit closer to me that has this barbecue place that we tried, and it was fucking amazing barbecue and cheap too. So we've been back there a couple times. We have a Denny's this way that's connected to a Dunkin' Donuts, which is a truck stop. So
as a quick aside, I will leave you with this. There was, on family trips, so go from Tennessee to Chicago. I usually take trips with my family to go there. We always stop at a Denny's that's in Kentucky that is like a truck stop combination, like you were saying. There was one time when we had gone, there was a roving adult bookstore. It was in a trailer, like a food truck almost. Like, it was a trailer that had wheels that moved from place to place, location to location. Mm-hmm. It was in the parking lot of this, like, fucking Denny's and, like, Hearts or Flying J or whatever the fuck it was. Like, it was wild.
Yeah. Shit happens, man. Crazy stuff around here, too, man. We trust me. We have a place around the, literally, right, like, 3 miles from me. It's a truck wash. And I didn't think it was open. I drove by it a couple weeks ago during the day, like business hours. Man, that place was fucking packed with trucks to wash.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just things you don't expect around here. But they've got a bunch of guys out there washing trucks, and they bring them around to the front. And you've got your girls out there drying the trucks. Yeah. That's what it is. And I even found the local strip bar.
Mm-hmm.
Visions. Found it. Don't think I'll go. It's small. It's a small little place.
Visions. Interesting.
So anyway, folks, we're getting the fuck out of here. Been about over 2 hours, about 2 hours going on 2:16, so Smark, my man.
Yes, sir.
I think you might have some information to give everybody.
For sure. If you're not sick of my shit already, Mondays, 8:30 p.m. on YouTube, it is totally inappropriate. Team sports. Tits for the layman out there.
Yeah.
Be a bra, support tits. We talk NFL, we talk NHL, we talk UFC, we cover it all. If all is those three sports that I just mentioned, we don't really talk about other shit. So be sure to check us out every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on the YouTubes or wherever you get your hashtag podcast.
There you go. They're over there talking about tits. So what, women's golf, women's NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. God, some of them women golf.
We actually did spend an extensive – there was a woman, a female, like – player in the NBA 3-point contest. Mm-hmm. And we did spend a good 5 to 10 minutes making fun of her. So if you want to listen to that, it's out there for you.
There you go, folks. There you go. And me and Smark will be right back here next week. I will give a shot one more time to YouTube. And we might even try Mixler again, dude. I just don't know how it's going to work here. I thought my internet was going to be better. It was supposed to be better. But, you know, we're so far from the, you know, we're so far from the tower over there. And we're her. So that's how it goes in the country. So anyway, we'll be back here next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next motherfucking week.
Adios.